Intro to Digital Archaeology.
Intro to Digital Archaeology.
Intro to Digital Archaeology.
HIST 3000.
At Carleton University.
With Professor Sean Graham.
So we're ending the term by looking at digital creativity, computational creativity, gaming, augmented reality. I'm open to other things too, if there's something you want to give a try and it's not on the actual list this week. I firmly believe that creative engagement with the past opens our perception to understanding more about the past than what we might first believe to be possible. And one of the ways that I am trying to engage creatively with archaeological material, historical material, is in sonification. Not just trying to hear data in the past, but remixing it too. Sonification is a technique that maps aspects of the information in question against things like the tone, the scale, instrumentation, rhythm, beats per minute, to highlight aspects of the information or data that a visual representation might not pick up. And it's also partly about making something strange. We've become so used to visual representations of information that we don't necessarily recognize the ways assumptions about it are encoded in the visual grammars, right? Of bar charts and graphs. By trying to represent historical information in sound, we have to think through all of those basic decisions and elaborate on their implications. If sonification is something you want to try out, let me know. There's a really good tutorial on the Programming Historian website that'll get you started. Well, I would say it's a really good tutorial because I wrote it. But nevertheless, if you want to give it a try, I can help you out. Just let me know. You know, you've been listening to some of my sonification work each week in this class, because the opening music for the podcast is a sound-based representation of archaeological data. It's built on 2,000 rows of data from the excavations at the Italian site of Poggio Civitate. I built chords by translating the latitude and longitude and counts of objects for different classes of materials onto relative positions on the 88-key keyboard. Then archaeologist Andrew Reinhard remixed these sonic representations to represent how archaeological materials interpenetrate in the soil matrix. And as you listen, in the beginning, the sound, the music, these sonified data are harmonious and in time. But because of subtle variations in the beats per minute, by the time the song ends, the data have become messy and frenetic, a reflection of the scattered pieces within the archaeological record, something that happens over time, something that is created through time. So each movement in the song corresponds to an isolated data thread, which then loops back in with the others to see how they relate. Have a listen. 3,000 years ago, at a plateau in the tufa landscape of southern Etruria and central Italy, people lived their lives and died, only to have their debris carefully collected, studied, systematized, counted, digitized, and exposed online. No longer things, no longer lived lives, but data, these counts and spaces were mapped to a simple sonic dimension using a little web toy called Two-Tone, which made a moderately pleasing experience. But remixed, the music moves us, enchants us, and pushes us towards pausing and thinking through the material, the labor, the meanings of a digital archaeology. You know, should this song ever be performed in a club, which is kind of fun to think about, if it was ever performed, the dancers would then be embodying our archaeological knowledge of Poggio Civitate in their very movements, in the flows and subtle actions, reactions their bodies make across the floor in time to the music. You know, in dancing, we achieve a different kind of knowledge of the world, a knowledge that reconnects us with the physicality of the past. The eruptions of deep time into the present, such as that encountered at an archaeological site, are weird and taxing and require a certain kind of trained imagination to engage with. But by turning the data into music, we let go of our authority over imagination and let the dancers perform what they know. Using the new music bridges the gap between humans past and present, and in dancing we, and maybe even you if you felt so inclined, you embody that data. You come to know it through movement. And it's a new connection to something old, and it's experienced by, with, and through the body. Archaeology is often a cerebral enterprise, which it deserves, at times, a really good ass-shaking derived from a driving beat. This week, we're joined by Dr. Catherine Cook of the University of Montreal.
Hello, my name is Catherine Cook, and I'm an assistant professor at the University of Montreal, based in the Department of Anthropology. What I'm working on currently really looks at how we can weave together approaches to archaeology and heritage, but also digital technology to present representations of the past that are productive and transformative and contribute to contemporary communities. So what can we actually do with archaeology to benefit people now? Looking at things like how we can use it to develop historical empathy, how we can use it to understand and learn from the legacies of colonialism and where all those roots come from, etc., etc. I got started in digital archaeology probably in a way that you might be able to kind of understand or have experienced yourself, in that I was on the verge of graduating as a PhD student from the University of York in the UK, and I was looking at the job market and what I could actually apply for, and I realized that I didn't really have any skills that anyone wanted, and that was a very terrifying place to be when you've spent many, many years in school. So as a fluke and of just a random coincidence, pretty much at the same moment, I received an invitation to apply for a Digital Archaeology Institute that was held at the Michigan State University, and that's actually how I met Dr. Sean Graham, of course, and many other really, really brilliant folks in digital archaeology who are incredibly generous with their time in training a lot of us very much novices in different methodologies that were relevant to our work. So that was really my start. I started to see all of the different options and started to apply it to my own work, as well as using it to actually get jobs in various moments. So it turned out to be something that was both very functional in my everyday life and the need to have employment, but also has really shaped where my practice has gone as an archaeologist since then. I think that the biggest challenge facing digital archaeology at the moment is really looking at how we can use digital technology and archaeology for the forces of good and not for evil. And I say that somewhat humorously, but at the same time, we do know that the tech industry, of course, has many, many, many flaws relating to discrimination and oppression and inequity. Archaeology has a huge history of colonialism, and therefore our research practice is very hierarchical and inequitable as well. And when they come together, they do have the opportunity to create a lot of really messy situations from the perspective of ethics, but also thinking through how we actually use these tools to do archaeology better, I guess, or also to do technology better, depending on how you look at it. But I think that the biggest challenge at the moment is reimagining something different, because we've all been very much trained to look at technology and look at archaeology in a very particular way. It's very difficult to move from there to imagine digital archaeology that is decolonized, for instance. So I think that is the biggest challenge, is imagining something that is completely new and completely different, even though our brains have been conditioned to think in a certain way. That is a really huge hurdle to overcome. I think that at the same time, it's interlinked to kind of my pet peeves in digital archaeology, which is the fact that it is often perceived as something that can just be thrown at archaeology as a solution. If there's a problem in archaeology, we can just use something in the digital world to solve it very quickly. We can make data analysis faster and bigger, and we can make data more accessible. We can make heritage experiences more dynamic because they're augmented and virtual and all of that jazz, without necessarily seeing all of the flaws behind it, and understanding where those flaws come from and what our role is in those flaws, because ultimately technology is created by us human folks. So understanding our roles in that. At the same time, I can say that because I think that that's also what underlines a lot of my glorious failures in digital archaeology, from investing a lot of time in projects that then end up being complete flops, to not recognizing necessarily that the things that we create aren't necessarily accessible for communities, because a lot of the work that I create is for a community application, and working in areas of the Caribbean, or also even times areas of Canada where the internet isn't really an option, or isn't very fast and can't really handle a lot of the things that we'd like to create in digital archaeology, and also recognizing that there's not really a one-size-fit-all solution there. At the same time, what fills me with hope about the field of digital archaeology is really the creativity that I see in some of the work of some scholars today who are looking at really reinventing digital archaeology to be something that even I sometimes can't imagine. Thinking of people like Sarah Perry, of course, who seems to have unending levels of imagination that just dreams up new things and new applications and new approaches that fill me with not only hope, but a lot of joy. It's a very joyful approach, I think, to archaeology. So if you haven't, of course, read much by Sarah Perry, I definitely recommend that, because I think it will fill you with hope as well. But I think it's also the creativity that I see in a lot of students that I work with today, because I think that very much there's a movement and a generational shift that's happening in archaeology, where there is a lot of opening of spirits and creativity that's emerging, and the opportunity to really reimagine what archaeology will look like even in the next few years.